And Father, we just thank you for all your goodness, Lord, all your grace, all your mercy that you have shown towards us, Lord God. We praise you, Father, for the name of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus, and for your precious Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we yield this night to all that you've already said, to all that you're going to say, Lord God. We give you all honor and all glory and all praise for it. Holy Spirit, we do acknowledge you. We do invite you. We do welcome you. We need you. Amen. Amen. And we thank you for what you're going to say and what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I can't explain how this always sneaks up on me, but it sneaks up on me every time. I keep telling y'all this is my third year, and for 3 years, the final class always sneaks up on me. I'm always thinking that we have one more. I really and truly did. I said, okay, yeah, well, we got two sessions, and I can do this chapter. Well, we only have tonight. It is no way that I'm going to be able to give you everything that I have on this chapter. So it will be your responsibility, online students. The final exam will come from Book 1, Chapter 10, Prayerless Praying. You're going to have to read it. I will do everything in my power to give you some PowerPoints, okay? So, you know, I'm going to be going kind of fast tonight, giving you the PowerPoints, but it's going to be Chapter 10. In my mind, when I started preparing for the semester, the chapter on Prayerless Praying was one chapter, and I think I mentioned it a couple of times, that I was racing to, because I said, I want to get that in the first semester. I really want to get that in. So I started looking. I said, 7, 8, 9, good chapters. We may come back to them in the spring, but for right now, we're going to go ahead and we're going to skip to Chapter 10, and it's the chapter on Prayerless Praying. Amen?
Amen.
So everybody understand? Yes. There is no study guide. There is no study guide. Read chapter 10. And what I'm going to try to do is give you the PowerPoints. As I understand, the final, it goes on next Monday,
yes,
according to what I saw. And y'all have 2 weeks to do it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Y'all got a lot of time to read it then. Y'all got a lot of time. Y'all can do that. Y'all can do that. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. I've explained that Mr. Bounds, he doesn't teach us in generalities. He's not a general teacher. He's very specific, and I mean, he can chew you up and spit you out here in chapter 10. But I thought it was important because prayer is so important. We need to understand that we don't want to go through the motions. You know, real prayer, true praying is not going through the motions. And it was a good thing because I had one of the students, one of the online students sent me an email, and she was trying to minister to a person, the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And naturally, you could tell this person had really, really been indoctrinated against tongues, because apparently they kept asking her all of these questions. And you know, she wanted to know, she says, well, how do you know when people are really praying, you know, or they're just babbling or something like that, you know, she was saying. And I was explaining to her, you know, that's the Holy Spirit's job, you know, but it's not even up to us. That's between them and God. You know, you can play with this if you want to. I don't want to take that chance. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, and she just had some other questions. So if you're going to minister, you know, to anybody, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, make sure that you understand.
Amen.
Amen. You have to understand. You have to be grounded in what it is that you're ministering to them, because what the enemy is going to do, he's going to always come with these objections. If you're led by the Holy Spirit to witness to them, he's going to always give you a word. He's going to give you an answer. Don't worry about that at all. All you have to do is offer the baptism to the Holy in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues to them. Base it on the scripture. You know, and they're going to have all their little questions, and they want, you know, well, you know, and then share with them what it has done for you, what it has done in your life. Amen. And then it gives you a much better opportunity to be successful in your witness. And I think that's what I told her. I referred her back to one of the little pamphlets. I said, read the pamphlet again, you know, and then if you want to go back and try again, you can go back and try again. But make sure that you're grounded and what it is that, you know, you're trying to give to him. Amen? Amen. Okay, prayer is praying. Now, let me see. I'm going to start at the end of the chapter. Only because, you know, I'm going to try to come back to the beginning. But he talks a lot about prayer is praying in the end of the chapter. He doesn't give us a full definition, but he does give us some characteristics of what he calls prayerless praying. Okay. Okay, I'll start with here. He talks about the Pharisees. We all know about the Pharisees, right? He says they prayed much. But they prayed, you know, with using vain words. Their praying was the symbol of their hypocrisy, by which they made God's house of prayer, remember that? A den of robbers, Matthew 21:13. Theirs were the prayers of state occasions, mechanical, he uses the word perfunctory, carried out with minimum effort, a token, professional, beautiful in words, fragrant in sentiment, well-ordered, well-received by the ears that heard, but utterly devoid of every element of real prayer. And then Mr. Bounds talks about Mr. Spurgeon. He says, Mr. Spurgeon said, but the living child of God never offers a prayer that pleases himself. You're not trying to please yourself when you're praying. You're trying to please God. Amen? The conditions of prayer are well ordered and clear. One of the first necessities, if we are to grasp the infinite possibilities of prayer, is to get rid of prayerless praying. Prayerless praying is often beautiful in words and in execution. It has the drapery of prayer in rich and costly form, but it lacks the soul of praying. We must pray, but we fall so easily into the habit of prayerless service or merely filling a program. There is nothing that will preserve the life of prayer, its vigor, its sweetness, its obligations, its seriousness, and its value so much as a deep conviction that prayer is an approach to God. You got to keep that in mind, that when you're praying, you are approaching God. You're not trying to entertain anybody. Amen? You're not trying to pray louder or lower than anybody else. It is a true praying. It's a pleading with God and asking God. And we want to keep that in mind. The other thing, he gives us some points about prayerless praying. He says, prayerless praying lacks the essential element of true praying. It is not based on desire. It is devoid of earnestness. It's not genuine. You know, this person just saying words. It is also devoid of faith. There's no faith in prayerless praying. And we all know people like that. We've all heard them at some point, somewhere along the line. It has no mighty pressure. Remember that pressure we talked about, and we referred to it as energy and power? That, you know, there's no energy, there's no power in prayerless praying. No holding on to God with the deathless, despairing grasp that we saw Jacob, when Jacob said, you know, I will not let you go except you bless me. Over in Genesis chapter 32, verse 26. Prayerless praying stakes nothing on the issue, for it has nothing to stake. Prayerless praying has no heart in its praying. Prayerless praying is insincere. Prayerless praying has neither memory nor heart. And I have in parentheses of what he prayed for. He gives, Mr. Bounds give the example, you know, they were praying and they went to somebody and said, well, what did you pray about? And they said, I was just praying. There is no such thing as I was just praying. Amen. You always want to aim your prayer. Give your prayer a target. Amen. Always, you know, let God know what it is that you're asking him, petitioning him, interceding about. One of the things that you have learned in this class, number one, always invite the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember that. And then always find yourself a scripture. Find yourself a scripture. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a scripture. And then you start your prayer from that. No such thing as I'm just praying. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That's prayerless praying. When you're talking about I'm just praying, you're not praying. You're not praying. I don't know what you're doing. Amen. But you're not praying. Glory to God. And then he gives a kind of a sort of a definition of prayerless praying. He says it's a mere form, F-O-R-M, a mass, an insipid compound, a mixture thrown together for the purpose of sound and to fill up time, but with neither heart nor aim, a dry routine, a dreary drudge, a dull and heavy task. Oh my God. Prayerless praying is much worse than either task or drudgery. Indeed, it divorces praying from living. And I'm going to go back. We're going to talk about your conduct and your prayer. Amen. It utters its words against the world, but with heart and life, it runs into the world. It prays for humility. That's what prayerless praying does. But it nurtures pride.
Wow.
It prays for self-denial while indulging the flesh. Mr. Bound, and we're going to go back to that, he talks a lot about our conduct and our praying. And then for some people, conduct, behavior, their life just does not match up with their praying. Amen? He's talking about holy living and prayer. You know, you can't live any kind of way and think that God is going to hear you. That's all he's just saying. You know, that if you're not going to live holy, that you might as well not even
right.
pray. This is what Mr. Bounds is saying. I told you he don't play. He does not play. He says it's much worse. It divorces praying from living. That's what prayerless praying does. It thinks it can live any kind of way and still pray. It utters its words against the world, but with heart and life runs into the world. I say that it prays for humility, but nurtures pride, prays for self-denial, while indulging the flesh. The prayer habit is a good habit, but prayer done only by force of habit is a very bad habit. You don't want to make it a habit of praying. You want your prayer to be sacred to you. It's got to be important to you. You have to understand that when I'm praying, I'm approaching God.
Right.
I'm having an audience with Almighty God.
Amen.
Think about it. If President Obama was here and wanted to have a conversation with you, what would your attitude be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop and think about that. And so you're talking about Almighty God. You have to get that attitude straight about what prayer is all about. Remember, it's a communion. It's a dialogue. You are talking to the sovereign God, the Most High. You're talking to your creator when you pray. keep that in mind. It's not a habit. This kind of praying, when you look at it as a habit, this kind of praying is not conditioned after God's order. That's not the way God ordered it. Nor is it generated by God's power. There is no power in prayerless praying. It is not only a waste, a perversion, and a delusion, but it is also a prolific source of unbelief. Prayerless praying gets no results. Amen? No results from prayerless praying. All right. I'm going to go back to the beginning now. I'm going to see how many of these PowerPoints I can give you. Mr. Bound begins the chapter. So I started with the prayerless praying part because you know that's going to be on the exam. Okay. All right. He asks the questions, why do we not pray? What are the hindrances to prayer? Then again, you know, he uses that word religion. We use the word relationship with God, right? He says, our relationship with God is bound to decline when praying is hindered. That which hinders praying hinders our relationship with God. Anytime you let anything stop you from praying, it is stopping you from having a relationship with God. Amen? Amen? In prayer. He who is too busy to pray will be too busy to live a holy life. Whoa. All right, I told you, he not playing. Other duties often become pressing and absorbing and crowd out prayer. Don't ever let nothing become so big in your life that you don't have time to pray. Always find time to pray. Amen?
Amen.
More than anything else, Satan wants us to let the grass grow on the path to our prayer chamber. A vacant chamber of prayer means that a believer has gone out of business religiously, or what is worse, has made a change and is carrying out religion, that we go to his word again, in some other name other than God's, and giving somebody else the glory. Mm-hmm. All right. He says over in Acts chapter 6, and he talks about verse 4, he says, the apostles understood, and when they said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles understood that prayer was put first with them, and the ministry of the word derived its efficiency and its life from prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So prayer for them was the primary thing. It was important. He says there's a process of hindering prayer. He says the process of hindering prayer by crowding it out is simple, and it goes in stages, one after the other. He said the first thing you'll notice, you'll start hurrying up through prayer. You know, you're going to pray and you're going to make the bed. You're going to pray and you're going to clean the bathroom. Well, you're not praying. You know, you're not giving God your undivided attention.
Right.
Amen. But you're hurrying up. Unrest, agitation, which are fatal to all devout exercises, come in. Prayer no longer commands respect or brings any benefit. It has fallen out of esteem, out of heart, out of the habits, out of the life. When one ceases to pray, he ceases to live spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't pray. He says that the only defense against the desolating floods of worldliness and business and cares is prayer. That's the only defense against it. Another PowerPoint. In Matthew 26:41, the word of God tells us to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There is no arriving at a high state of grace without much praying. Apostle talked about that grace tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Without much praying. And I've told you, you know, he's a man of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said it tonight. He prays much and he continues. Mr. Bounds is going to say something about that. He continues to pray much. He said, and there is no staying. There it is right there. There is no, let me say this again. There is no arriving at a high state of grace without much praying. And there is no staying, once you get there, in those high altitudes without great praying. See, it takes prayer to get there, and it takes prayer to stay there. Because people get there, we see this, but they don't stay because they stop praying. Amen? Amen. The only way to preserve our praying from being hindered is to regard prayer at its true and high value. We must esteem prayer the way Daniel did. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Are we praying one time? Well, we know some Christians who not. You know, we know some Christians who are not. Nobody in here is doing that because everybody in here taking his class. Everybody know the importance of prayer. Amen. But he prayed 3 times a day. Set a high value on praying. Set a high, make it important. You know, I'm one of the intercessors here for the church. We got to pray. Amen. We have to pray. And, you know, I think what's happening is it's gotten us to a point where, believe it or not, we enjoy it. Amen. You know, we have people praying 1:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I hit a 4 or 5 somewhere around. I have hit a 2:30. I mean, I think the earliest idea was like a 2:30. But, you know, it's such a benefit because we get together and we talk about how our lives are changing, you know, for the better. You know, we're seeing things, we're understanding things, you know, finally getting to the point that we know we can hear God. Amen? So that's what praying, you know, will do for you. But I tell everybody, you got to start. You know, you may not be able to start with 30 minutes. You might have to start with 10. But you take that 10 and then you, every day, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. Then, you know, before long, you're 15 minutes. And then 20 minutes. I mean, don't stay at 10 minutes all your life now. Don't stay at 10. our previous author showed us a way. You know, people want to say, I can't pray for an hour. And he outlined how if you pray for everything that you're supposed to be praying for as a Christian, it is going to take you an hour. Yeah. You know, when you finish praying for your president-elect, amen, right. And your governor, and people from Baton Rouge, your mayor. You know, when you finish praying for all of those people, and then you get down to your children and your grandchildren and your mama them, you know. I mean, just keep on. I mean, because remember now, prayer is not about just you. Right. Amen. That's the other thing as Christians. You know, under the apostle, and under this apostolic anointing, we know that what we're doing is bigger than us. Yeah. Amen. So we have to pray like that. Amen. Amen. You know, and you're going to find, it's going to be important to you. That's all I'm going to say. It's just going to be important to you. So set a high value on praying. One of Satan's wiliest tricks. Now this was a catchy word here, but I caught it. Mr. Bowen says one of his tricks is to destroy the best by the good. Think about it. The best by the good. He says business and other duties, they are good. But we are so filled with these that they crowd out and destroy the best. Prayer holds the citadel. Amen. The high place for God. And if Satan can by any means weaken prayer, he has succeeded in destroying the citadel. Amen. You know, so, you know, and I think I've shared this before. You know, there are people who they do good things for church. You know, they do good things. And what they have allowed is doing those good things for prayer. Those things, and they think that it's equal. It's equal. No. Prayer is the citadel. Remember that. That's the high place with, with God. When prayer is dead, the citadel is taken. We must keep prayer in the same way that the faithful sentinel keeps guard with sleepless vigilance. Our prayer chamber should have our freshest strength, our calmest time. Its hours should be unfettered, without intrusion, and without haste. Amen? You know, that's a private time. And that's why, you know, I mean, early morning, it's really, really good. Nobody should be calling your house at 2 o'clock in the morning. I would say between 2 and 6, nobody should be calling that. But, I mean, it's up to the individual. I mean, nobody can dictate to you when, but I'm just saying, you know, early morning is a good time. You're not going to be interrupted. You're not. This is when you can just focus. You can just focus. Just me and God. Me and God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me see. I got some, like I said, these are PowerPoints that I'm giving you. The greatness of prayer in the most intense form is not realized without spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline. Because prayer involves the whole man. And I have here spirit, soul, and body. Anything less than this is wishing, lip service. If your spirit, soul, and body is not involved while you're praying, Mr. Bounds said it's wishing, it's lip service, a sham, or a mummery. He calls it a mummery. Remember Dr. Montrell called it vain babbling, and I call it empty words. Amen? I have a lot here, but like I said, I'm trying to give you some PowerPoints. Mr. Bounds also says, well, our author says, a holy life is the only preparation for prayer. A holy life. It is just as difficult to pray as it is to live a holy life. That's what Mr. Bounds says. Men do not love holy praying because they do not love and because they do not determine to live holy lives. Okay, men do not love holy, men do not love holy praying because they do not love and because they do not determine to live holy lives. Amen? You know, you don't want to pray holy if you're not going to live holy.
Right.
That's all Mr. Bounds is saying here. We have learned that the gracious result secured by prayer is generally proportional, and we talked about this before, to the effort that we put in removing the hindrances that obstruct our soul's highest communion with God. More prayer, bigger the reward. Amen? You dealing with something big, you're going to need more prayer. More prayer. Amen? Okay, prayer is a rare gift, not a popular ready gift. Prayer is not the fruit of natural talents. You know, it's not a talent. Amen?
Amen?
Rather, it is the product of faith, of holiness, of deeply spiritual character. Men learn to pray as they learn to love. Then Mr. Bound quotes a Mr. Fenelon, F-E-N-E-L-O-N. He says, perfect prayer is only another name for love. Perfection in simplicity, in humility, in faith, these forms its chief ingredients. Talking about prayer and love. The spirit of prayer should rule our spirits and our conduct. Remember I told you that? The spirit of prayer should rule our spirits and our conduct. It is what we are outside of the prayer closet that gives victory or brings defeat to the prayer closet. Amen? So how you living outside of your prayer closet? What you doing? What you saying? If the spirit of the world prevails in our non-closet hours, the spirit of the world will prevail in our closet hours. Amen? Y'all understand that?
Yes.
All right. And that will be a vain and idle force. Talking about our prayer. Amen? Mm-hmm. We must live for God out of the prayer closet if we want to meet God in the prayer closet. You want to meet him in the closet? Live for him outside the closet. Amen? We must bless God with praying lives if we want to have God's blessing in the prayer closet. We must do God's will in our lives if we want to have God's ear in the prayer closet. Talking about the will and the ear. Amen? We must listen to God's voice in the public if we want God to listen to our voice in private. Amen? PowerPoints. God must have our hearts out of the prayer closet if we want to have God's presence in our prayer closet. There is no way of praying to God except by living to God. Amen? You got to, I mean, this is a living thing. I mean, you got to live this. You got to live it. It's not just an act or a motion. The prayer closet is not a confessional, simply, but the hour of holy communion, of high and sweet communication and intense intercession. Talk about with God. Amen? Amen. Men would pray better if they lived better. Heavy, 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 heavy. If they live better. And I think we've talked about this before. I think Mr. Bounds said something about that. If they live better, they would pray better. And then he gives us 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Bad living leads inevitably to bad praying. And we pray feebly because we live feebly. If you live feebly, you're going to pray feebly. The stream of praying cannot rise higher than the fountain of living. We cannot talk to God strongly when we have not lived for God strongly. Conduct and prayer. Amen? We cannot divorce praying from conduct. And then again, he quotes 1 John 3:22 that I just read. And then over in James chapter 4, verse 3, ye ask not and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. The injunction of Christ in Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray, is to cover and guard our conduct. Amen. I better say that again. Watch and pray. He tells us that because it is to cover and guard our conduct, that we may come to our prayer closets with all the force secured by a vigilant guard over our lives. Christians everywhere are to be charged to pray by their lives. Amen? By their lives. Yeah. Or to not pray at all. As Mr. Bounds, I told y'all, he don't play. And then, and you know, when Apostle was talking about repentance, that's a part of this lesson. He says, the prayer of repentance is acceptable, but repentance means to quit doing wrong and learn to do well. Yeah. A repentance that does not produce a change in conduct is a sham. Amen? Praying that does not result in pure conduct is a delusion. It is prayerless. Amen? Prayerless. Y'all understand that? All right. A life growing in its purity and devotion will be a more prayerful life. So much of our praying is without an objective or an aim. We talked a little bit about that. It is without purpose. Aim your prayer. Have purpose in your prayer. How much praying there is from those who never abide in Christ. They hasty praying, sweet praying, full of sentiment, pleasing praying, but not backed by a life wedded to Christ. Popular praying. How much of this praying is from unsanctified hearts and unhallowed lips? Amen. Sound good. I don't know if y'all ever, I grew up, I mean, they had people, I mean, they sound good. But their life did not match that sounded good. So in other words, they were saying these things, but there was no power. There was no results. And then people say, prayer don't work. Well, come on now. It'll work if you work it, right? And live it. Now we're learning in this lesson that we got to live it. Prayerless praying by lips and hearts untrained in prayer, by lives out of harmony with Jesus Christ. Amen. Prayerless praying, which has the form, remember that verse that talks about a form of godliness? Okay. Which had, it's 2 Timothy 3 and 5, if anybody, you know, it's not going to be on the test, but it's there, talking about this form. Prayerless praying, which has the form and motion of prayer, but is without the true heart of prayer, never moves God to answer. Amen. So, you know, that's why, some of those prayers are not being answered. Because they're prayerlessly praying. Amen. They got a form and they got the motion, but they're not really praying. He said there are two great evils, and I got only a few minutes, not asking and acting in the wrong way. And then Mr. Bounds says, perhaps the greater evil is wrong asking. For it has in it the show, it look like you're praying. The show of duty done, of praying when there has been no praying. A deceit, a fraud, a sham. The times of the most praying are not really the times of the best praying. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. But I want you to read the chapter. You'll get a good understanding. It's not that long. It's really not that long. I've given you PowerPoints. Some of these PowerPoints will be on the final exam. Amen? All right. Anybody has any questions? Yes, ma'am.
The final is just on chapter
10. I did it one time where I did everything I had taught, for that semester, and somebody came up to me and she said, it was very comprehensive. It was very comprehensive, but then I found out the other instructors, they were only giving you on the final exam what they taught from exam two to the end. So that's why it was so important for me to give you PowerPoints from chapter 10. It probably won't be as long as the other exams because it's only the one chapter. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, I do want to say I have really, really enjoyed y'all. This has been a great semester. It really passed too fast. It's been easy. Y'all have just made it so easy, and I appreciate that, and I thank y'all for it. Y'all have a blessed holiday season, and I will see you. Well, I don't know when I'm going to see you because the impartation conference starts that Tuesday, I believe, which would be our class night.
Yeah, they
pushed it back. I saw that. And you don't come back until the 9th, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you come back the 9th, and the impartation begins the 10th. So I'll have to see you the following week. So y'all be blessed. Be blessed.